Ramsey TV.
I'm gonna tackle a passage from Romans that I really love. It's in Romans chapter 8, and it's two words, two of the best words you'll ever read, the most important words you'll ever read, but words that religious people have never read, apparently, even though they jump out at me. And I've circled these two words so many times in my scriptures that it goes through three pages. I'm in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. For what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God. Another way you can say that is God did. God did something that was impossible to the law. Not that the law was imperfect, the law was perfect, but that the law was infirm through the flesh. Now, let me continue on this passage, and then I'm going to elaborate on this. Let me start over again. This is wonderful. For what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin. There is another great couplet, another great two-word, one-two punch, concerning sin. This is the whole reason Jesus Christ came, concerning sin. And this whole thing was done by God. I'm going to elaborate, and you're going to love it. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. This is great news. He condemns sin, the sin that operates in our flesh. He condemns it, not us, it. Religion tells us that he condemns our sin. Well, he condemns us as sinners, but no, he condemns the sin itself, not our sin. He takes it out at the source. He condemns sin in the flesh that the just requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who are not walking in accord with flesh. You might say also in accord with law, because flesh and law are being tied together here by Paul. But in accord with spirit. Verse 5, for those who are in accord with flesh are disposed to that which is of the flesh. This would be the entire Christian religion, every religion. They're disposed. That is, they pay attention to. They're down with. That's what this word literally means in the Greek, down with. They're in accord with the flesh. They're working on the flesh. They're mourning over the flesh. They're trying to manipulate the flesh. Well, those who are in accord with flesh are disposed to that which is of the flesh, yet those who are in accord with spirit, that is in agreement with spirit, like, yay, spirit. That's all it is. Those are in accord with spirit. Like, yeah, spirit. Let's see what that does to that which is of the spirit. For the disposition of the flesh is death. This is why many religious people have such deathly pallors. I guess they constantly fighting. The disposition of the flesh is death, yet the disposition of the spirit is life and peace. That's what we're looking forward to. Because the disposition of the flesh is enmity to God. Isn't that strange? The very people who think they're the friends of God, fighting this sin that God already did something concerning, they're actually in a state of enmity to God. They're not congratulating God for what he did. Concerning sin through Christ. God did, concerning sin, sending his own Son. They don't like that. And so they are enemies of God. Strange. They're still in flesh. I'm going to get to that here. I'm going to give you a practical example of this. I'm going to do a demonstration right here on the show. These people are still in flesh. That's a weird thing. Flesh is not able to please God. Anyway, flesh, those who are disposed to the flesh are, whacked out. I just paraphrased it there. I'll get back to the literal text. Because the disposition of the flesh is enmity to God, for it is not subject to the law of God, for neither is it able. Now those who are in flesh are not able to please God. Ooh, Christians, you're not able to please God. You're still in flesh. Us, me, I'm like, yeah, spirit. Okay, let the spirit work. Let me find out what God did. And let me find out what he did concerning sin, so I don't have to worry about sin anymore. Yet you are not in flesh, but in spirit, if so be that God's spirit is making its home in you. Now, if anyone has not Christ's spirit, this one is not his. And it's Christ's spirit that will cause you to understand what I am telling you today. But I love the word impossible here. It's the best use of the word impossible I've ever seen. What an ingenious use of a word. Denoting insurmountable futility. The word I'm talking about is in Romans 8:3, for what was impossible to the law. Impossible. Insurmountable futility. You know, this is one of those words, since it's in the scriptures, you know, God investigated this word seven times, right? God tried all his words seven times. So God looks at this word, turns it around every which way, impossible, impossible. I say, yeah, this is a great word. I'm going to put it in Romans 8:3 to explain how likely it is for flesh to do the law. It's impossible. The word that God looked at every which way was adunatan. Adunatan. What does it mean? Well, the English elements are unable. A, the prefix is the negative. It's like un. And the rest of the word, dunatan, is able, unable. And I don't know how this word escapes those who insist on posting the Ten Commandments on churches and public buildings. You hear politicians today, certainly pastors, priests, teachers, purported teachers who purport to know the Word of God, they're posting the Ten Commandments. They love the Ten Commandments. Here's a quote from a pastor. I won't name him, but the quote is, do the Ten Commandments. This is basically a quote from any pastor. Do the Ten Commandments. An ordinary person, such as you or myself, our answer would be, but God says it's impossible. I'm unable. Adunatan, dude. Adunatan. And you know what the pastor's answer is? Every time. This is their answer. Just try. Try. It's like somebody telling me to lift my 2012 Honda Accord over my head. And I say, but it's impossible. I'm unable. I can't do it. Try. Just try. What was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God. What exactly was it that was impossible to the law? The taking away of sin, capital S, sin, the thing itself. Was there something wrong with the law? Nope, not at all. The law was and is holy. It's just. It's good. These are Paul's exact words. Later in Romans, Romans chapter 7, verse 12, the law is holy, just, and good. It's just that the law was infirm. Let me put it this way. The law was infirm only through the flesh. Only when you're trying to force flesh to do law is the law infirm. The law itself isn't infirm. It's infirm through the flesh. Flesh can't do law. The demonstration's coming up right now. Flesh can't do law. Flesh, sarx, S-A-R-X, in the Greek. This is what Paul says. I remind you again, what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God. Oh, God doesn't wear flesh. That's the beautiful thing. God did it through his Son, who, in order to identify with us, came in the likeness of sin's flesh. I'm going to explain that also. Probably won't do it today, but I'm going to be on this for a few days. You're going to love it. Flesh, sarx, flesh came to law. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your arm out there, and I want you to pinch your arm, okay? Pinch your arm. Don't do it too hard. Don't hurt yourself here. We don't want any bruising. The stuff that comes up between your fingers with hair on it, everybody has some degree of hair, even you ladies. I'm sorry. That's flesh. Pinch a little bit of skin. Pinch your arm. The stuff that comes up with the hair on it, that's flesh. If stuff comes up between your fingers with hair on it, then you can't do law. If stuff comes up between your fingers with hair on it when you pinch your arm, then you can't do law. So the next time some moronic Christian pastor, sorry for the redundancy there, comes up to you and suggests to you, or worse, orders you to do the law, to at least try to obey the Ten Commandments, this is what you do. You pinch your arm, show the person, won't call him any more names, show the person the bunched up stuff with the hair on it, look the person in the eye, and say very sarcastically, you must say this sarcastically, but in a matter-of-fact way, oops, sorry. Pinch your skin, show them the little piece of flesh in between your feet. Oh, oops, sorry. And then quote Romans 8:3. That's your next move. The problem, the whole problem is sin. Do I have time to get into this? I'm going to get into this more tomorrow, but I'm just going to touch on it to whet your appetite. The problem is sin, capital S. I like to personify it. It's personified in the Concordant version with a capital S. Flesh, now as presently constituted, is helpless against sin. Now our Lord, when he raised from the dead, he was flesh and bone without blood. Blood is the corrupting factor in humanity. His flesh was perfect. So it's not flesh itself. It's not the material that's bad or evil or wrong. It's that there's mortality coursing through our flesh at the present time. This is why Christ's sacrifice concerned sin, because it's such a freaking problem. It's also why the whole book of Romans is about sin, most of the book of Romans. And I'm not talking about how to overcome your sin, but Roman is a treatise, is an explanation about what God did concerning sin. Well, that is such a profound statement, because people miss the whole purpose of Romans. In fact, they miss the whole purpose of the scriptures. Let's start with Romans. People think Romans is concerning sin. And what's the first thing a Christian would think? Romans is telling you how not to sin. Romans is telling you how bad your sin is. Romans is telling you how your sin can still separate you from God. That is absolutely not true. It is pure ignorance of this book. Romans is a declaration of what God did concerning sin. That's profound. And on that profundity, I will retire for the day, but don't worry, because I'm going to be back talking to you tomorrow about what God did concerning sin, about the huge battle that was Christ's and not yours. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Mona Lisa. Why wouldn't I? And I'll show you a picture of my Bible where I have these words, did God, circled so many times, it goes through three pages. Now, please excuse me. I'm going to circle it one more time because I want it to go through five pages. Five, the number of grace. Ha ha.